you're going to be sore sitting around doing nothing, and you're going to be sore if you get up and go play pickleball and go on a jog. So which sore do you want? Good sore that allowed you to get out and hear the birds and smell the air and see the sun and maybe meet somebody on the path or sit by the creek or play some pickleball and compete? Or do you want to be sore watching reruns of Game of Thrones or something, you know? So it's your choice.
Welcome to another episode of Success for the Athletic-Minded Man. Real talk on harnessing your athletic drive for clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. This is your host, Jim Harshaw Jr., and today I bring you Jake Plummer. If you are an NFL fan, you know who Jake Plummer is. He played 10 years in the NFL for both the Cardinals and the Broncos, had a successful career, and that was after a successful career at Arizona State, where he actually played with Pat Tillman, who we talk a little bit about here in today's episode. And you may know who Pat Tillman is if you've heard that name before. We talk a little bit about him today. And then also he talks about what he's been doing since playing in the NFL, what his life has been like, what it was like to go from a small town guy, kid growing up in Idaho to playing on Sunday afternoons in front of millions. And he also talks about something really relevant for guys like you and me, which is, how do we optimize our life? How do we stay more focused at work? How do we be more productive? How do we make sure that our brain is healthy and we are just showing up as the best versions of ourselves? And he talks about mushrooms, something that he's done a lot of work with, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about, actually quite a bit more about those here today, and how we can start incorporating those into our life, into our health and wellness routines and our nutrition and our diet. So if you have a friend who likes the NFL, who likes to optimize, is into health and fitness and health and wellness, tell them to check out this episode, forward this episode along to a friend. And by the way, if you haven't already, please take a moment and give a rating and review for the podcast, whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other podcast player. It helps people find this podcast, and that's one of the things, if you are searching through a podcast and you're like, you come across a podcast you might like, I always look at how many ratings, how many reviews, what are the reviews like for this podcast? So those really help. So thank you in advance for doing that. And by the way, also thank you for sharing this with a friend. It goes a long way whenever you give this a share. So, all right, let's get into my interview with former NFL star Jake Plummer. So Jake, your story really resonates with me. You grew up in a small town, country boy, rural Idaho. You worked in a lumber mill growing up, as your family, I think, did as well. And you become an NFL star. Like, what was that journey like going from small town Idaho to the biggest of big time?
Yeah, it's a crazy journey, a crazy story. I think a lot of people, a lot of young kids out there have that dream. Of course, they would love to reach the highest high and make it onto the field on Sundays. And I was able to do that somehow, some way. It was a fun journey, a wild journey, different than the kids that try it today, for sure. As I grew up in a time with a lot more freedom as a youngster, and also everything wasn't being filmed and documented every single second of every day. So great time going and becoming, you know, what you have as a childhood dream to play on Sundays and play in the NFL. When you get there, you realize it's more than just playing. It's the face of a franchise, a multi-billion dollar franchise, and definitely a ton of fun. I had a lot of doubters, but I also believed strongly in myself and had people around me that believed also. And got to say, it was fun to be able to grow up where I did in Boise, Idaho. Not a very common thing for a young athlete, a young kid to play as many sports as you can, find out football was the one that I could get a free education and then make it into the NFL and have what I feel was a really awesome career for 10 years. So yeah, great journey, a lot of fun. You know, people say career, but that's just part of my life. So, you know, careers keep going, you know. My career as an NFL football player, for sure, you can only play that game for so long. And I had a great time. I met a lot of great people along the way. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about how to depend on others and multiple lessons that we all get from playing organized sports that you can carry on in life further on when you're done playing those games and have to focus on the real stuff, what really matters, important things that you know, we don't talk much about when it comes to Sunday and the NFL and everything going on. So a fun journey nonetheless, proud of what I've accomplished and able to continue to do more good things.
You mentioned meeting a lot of good people along the way. One of those good people was your good friend, Pat Tillman. And for the listener, I imagine you've heard the name Pat Tillman. If you haven't, you've probably been under a rock. But Tell me how the loss of your friend, Pat Tillman, killed in battle, friendly fire, and how did that affect you at that time when you learned of his loss?
Yeah, it was really tough. I mean, one, just him making his decision, as before he did that, we all, as teammates of his at Arizona State, you know, got the pleasure of playing with him for 3 years there, having our special run in 96 where he was a huge part of that team.
Yeah, is that the undefeated team?
Yeah, we were undefeated. We lost in the Rose Bowl and actually played in what was a national championship game. And funny was the reason I went to ASU because there was one coach that gave me that kind of confidence and said I was a quarterback that could lead them there, and that was Bruce Snyder. So being undersized from a small town, really not supposed to have gotten all those offers and been there. Same as Pat, you know, he was an undersized guy, you know, wasn't fast enough to play, wasn't strong enough, all these things that people want to cast at you. But he believed strongly in himself. And the best thing about Pat was he was just a great friend. True, down to the very end, a great friend who would call to check on me before his last deployment, just to see how I was doing. He did those things. He did the things that you remember, and not just to me, but to countless other human beings out and around wherever he was. He was a very charismatic, honest, genuine dude that wasn't perfect by any means. And to now see him become this national hero and talked about and kids named after him and Pat's run and his legacy to live on and inspire others is really something special. Seeing that, you know, when he did get killed, it shocked all of us. We were just like, that was our worst nightmare come true, that we wouldn't be able to spend time with our homie when he got back from what we all thought was insane. But he didn't care what other people thought, and he was always doing things that he wanted to do that he felt were worthwhile in his life and his progression in life. And very influential guy, even on to me this day, you know, to remember how he lived in that short span he got to be here, to remember to just kind of push yourself to not always be achieving everything, to sometimes just stop and talk to somebody that you find intriguing or maybe see that maybe struggling, or just to be human again. And so Pat's a very inspirational person in my life. I miss him dearly. I feel really bad for his family because of all the confusion and speculation and unanswered questions around his death. And I don't like to focus on that just because Pat was a badass and a great friend, a great teammate to so many, many, many people. And now he's a hero. And to know somebody like that does a couple things. You go, wow, I was close with this person who some people don't even know, but they're modeling their whole lives after, you know, that for sure. And then just to remember there are a lot of Pat Tillmans out there, you know, and that's what Pat did. He stopped and took the time to, like I said, be curious about another human being and maybe get to know if that guy was a good guy or a bad guy. You know, I'd go talk to him. And you know, that's what I always challenge people that want to live in his light, is to go out there and not just be this single solo entity that has blinders on. Like, open up to the beauty out there and the people out there. And really, when you leave a wake of kindness and love and you know, curiosity behind you, you'll be a legend even if you don't go fight for our country. And we all felt that way before he died, fighting for our country, the ones that knew him and knew him well.
Yeah, you're right. He's inspired so many, and his legacy certainly lives on, which hopefully is some consolation for friends like you and his family.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple times, you mentioned I believed in myself. You mentioned Pat believed in himself. How did that play a role in your success as a football player and now a businessman? But like, you mentioned belief, and I think confidence, belief is something that I know. I know from my personal experience, but also, you know, so many of the guys who I work with, I have almost 100 guys in my clients in my community. Like, confidence, self-belief, self-doubt creeps in to a lot of people. We think we all have that little negative voice on our shoulders. Like, did you ever feel that? If so, how did you deal with it? You know, when the lights are on and the pressure's on, you step out there on a Sunday.
I often reference believing in yourself and the belief in those around you. And I think it all stems from, you know, when you find something you love and something that brings out the best in you, or that you can get lost in time doing, you know, it's something that builds up passion. And Pat talked a lot about passion, you know. I mean, he was a big person when it came to, you know, his belief in passion and being like in the moment what you're doing. And if you're in that moment and you're doing something and your thoughts are bouncing elsewhere, or you're like, man, what the hell am I doing this for? You know, it's not 100% believing in whatever that vision or that mission or that goal may be, not only individually, but when you're on a team, you know, belief is a very contagious, a very powerful emotion to emote and carry with you, especially being the leader of the team, a quarterback. You know, if I'm having a bad day and I go out there and mope around and I'm pissed off and not believing in things, and that's going to infect everybody. And so you got to be really careful, and obviously it can't be fake, but when you do believe in something and you love what you're doing, that's a contagious feeling. And I reference the fans a lot. You know, when I'm talking, some of the times I get to the media, I'm always reminding the fans, like, hey, remember, you know, sit back and watch this game and enjoy it. It is for our enjoyment, not so we can scream and yell and throw stuff and get pissed off and
ruin your day, ruin your week. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and in life in general, you know, if you're enjoying something like a donut, it doesn't go into your body the same as if you're like guiltily eating this donut and like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. And like, you know, how you, the energy you put into things is very, very palpable, you know, especially in a stadium and amongst a group of guys trying to win a ball game. You know, numerous times I didn't let them give up if we were down by a certain amount of points. And so I learned a lot about myself and how I can fight through bad plays, knowing that it doesn't matter. It's already happened. What can I do now? What can I do next? And we live in such a analytical world sometimes to look back at what we did yesterday or what we haven't done last month, or God, last year I didn't do all these things. And it's like, well, then set more realistic goals, or don't set any goals. Just be and do and like enjoy yourself day to day, and not, you know, put so much pressure on ourselves to constantly be getting better and succeeding and pushing the envelope. Sometimes you get to a point where life is the beautiful thing happening, and putting more energy into that is really, it's a challenge. And believing in yourself, though, becomes a big part of that, knowing that you're doing your best and living the best you can.
Quick interruption. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, be sure to get the notes, quotes, and links in the action plan from this episode. Just go to jimharshawjr.com/action. That's jimharshawjr.com/action to get your free copy of the action plan. Now back to the show. And for the listener, that is relevant for you because, you know, Jake, you had to go into a world where you could have a bad play and you got to come back, you know, seconds later and reset your mindset. And for the listener, like, you might screw up in a sales presentation, a job interview, a conversation with your boss, a deal falls through. Like, you have a tough conversation with your wife, whatever it is, like, you can be resilient. Like, can you find joy in the next thing? Can you reset? Can you put it behind you? I mean, this is, you know, Jake is somebody who had to do it in front of, you know, tens of thousands and millions watching on TV at times. And can you do that in your own life? And for reference, you can go back to episode number 523 of this podcast episode, and I give you 10 different tactics for doing that. These are things that I learned through my wrestling career and things that I still do whenever I step on stage as a speaker, because I get really nervous. And I just have to put myself in the right mindset and the right frame of mind so that I can go up and enjoy it and love the audience. And I do it. I literally did it before we got hit record on this, Jake. It's like, I just put myself into a mindset of like, I'm going to enjoy this conversation and just show up and be the best version of me and help Jake be the best version of himself and just bring an awesome message to the audience. So you've got to do that work for the listener. It doesn't always just come by default. Like, sometimes you have to actually do the work, the breathing and the mindset work, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, belief in yourself is constant work. You know, it's constantly like making sure you just reassure yourself, and those negative thoughts can creep in. And, you know, I truly believe where your mind goes or thoughts go, your energy flows. And so I'm never just like, oh, I was totally positive all day. Everything was great. I mean, you're always like, things happen. Someone cuts you off in traffic. And I'm watching my kids grow up, you know, 15, 12, and 9. And like when they do something wrong or they fail at something and see how they're reacting and trying to like, oh, okay, I see myself in them now even more of how I was when I was young and didn't know how to handle and balance these emotions. And there's definitely a lot of things that you can do. You can't always just get up and take off and go on a bike ride. You know, sometimes you got to like, okay, got to tap into another tool in my toolbox. That might be breath work, or you know, it might just be thinking about something positive, thinking about something you love, thinking about my dog or my cat, or, you know, the sunshine, like whatever it is. And it's tough too, you know, not being perfect sometimes and having passion. It obviously it comes up too. And you say things that you may not have time to think about, or you react some way because you're in fiery, like go mode. Part of believing in yourself and being that person that's a leader, you got to step back and acknowledge your mistake and learn from it and say, I won't do that again. And hopefully you don't do that again. So yeah, there's a fine balance you got to run there, but you know, definitely you're here, you're doing a great, great thing. You're helping athletes, you're helping men succeed later on in life. I'm on your podcast. That means I'm somebody doing something right that people want to hear. And I've done a lot of things, but I'm still doing things and learning and to share that message. Yeah, you got to just believe in it. And no one can, you know, doubt my experience. It's my experience. So doubt me if you want, but I'm just speaking from my heart and my experience. Maybe it resonates with you. Maybe it doesn't. But if it's something you can, there's something in there you can learn or just be inspired by, you know, that's really the point of all this, right? Just to believe in yourself and have passion and share those stories, share things that may help somebody in a downtime get through it.
And so Jake, you retire from the NFL. Football is your identity. I mean, football is who you are, what you do. You did it since you were a child, through college, NFL, and then you retire. What was that transition like? And here, and for perspective, the reason I ask this question is because so many guys, like myself included, we identify with our career. Our identity is often tied up in what we do. And I plan on doing what I do until well after a typical retirement age because I love what I do. You retired from what you love and what you were world class at, and you're in your 30s. Like, how was that transition for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a challenge. The thing is like, it's awesome. You're going to continue doing what you do because you love helping people, right? You love to see somebody succeed, and that in turn helps you stay on top of your life too. I mean, it's like having kids. They're watching you all the time, so better live life right. But, you know, the difference when I was doing what I love to do, which was playing football, for part of what I did with the passion and the love I put into playing and being a leader of a locker room full of guys, they looked to me for, you know, that consistency and that fire, hard work and effort and belief system that I, you know, carried about with me all the time. It was hard to walk away from the game, or as I say, I ran away because I was still in good health. I'd never really experienced any severe injuries. I never put my mom through a commercial break where I was laying on the field and there's a group of people around me and they have my head in their hands and it's like, okay, we'll be back from a commercial break to pay our sponsors. Like, oh my God. Like I feel now when I see that, I stop and just send out like as much energy and love as I can to the mother, the father, the family of this kid's laying there. And we don't know what happened. There's no one saying anything and they got to pay the sponsors. So, you know, I played hard. I played with heart and soul. And leaving it was really hard, but I was ready in year 9 when we almost made it to the Super Bowl. We lost in the AFC Championship, just like the Broncos of this season. And I didn't get to go do what I wanted, and that was to win a Super Bowl and have that ring and be the MVP and say thank you to everybody. And then I was ready to be done after that year. The game beat me up. You know, I wasn't built like a big, huge dude to take this beating. I was, thank goodness I wasn't actually, now I think back, like I was wiry and strong and nimble and quick and could bend with the guys, but I played a reckless style. I played hard. I wouldn't remember that it was the first quarter. I'd dive for a first down because that's what I'm supposed to do. I wasn't going to not so I could be there later. I was just in it. And so my body took a beating. What kind of drove me out of it, I think, was the criticism that I constantly faced, knowing, like, here's these people writing about my effort and my abilities, and am I the one to lead, and he can't do this, and he's doing this wrong. And inside, I'm, like, telling myself, you're doing it all right. That you can't help but feel and hear those voices. And that negativity just kind of took the love of the game away from me. And
really? Yeah. Like, none of us listening have, you know, imagine if you had tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people watching, some people writing about you, critiquing what you do. Like, we don't have to deal with that. That is a crazy perspective.
You go get some wings and have a couple beers with some buddies tonight, Jim. No one's going to go, oh, look, Jim's, But people were watching, you know, like, oh, he's out. Oh, he's out too much. That's why he can't play well. No, that ain't why. You know, so it got to be a lot. And the pressure was definitely immense. And I was fine with it. I still loved the teammates, the role, being around those guys. I mean, that's really it. That was it. Those were my guys. That is, as long as those 52 believed in me, I could care less about the coaches. You don't like me? Fine. These 52 dudes, 53 guys, they're gonna go through a dark alley with me because they love me, and they're gonna work their asses off because they know I'm gonna do it in return to them. That's all I cared about.
Yeah, it's like back to high school sports. It's back to like playing because you love to play.
Yep. That's and that idea. You know, the physical part was demanding, the mental part was definitely demanding, and the spiritual part was just crushed. You know, that's like this thing that people don't understand. Like, that's such a manly, masculine, testosterone-driven game that's being played in fields, and they've been paid a ton of money, and there's not a lot of spirituality unless you are of faith and maybe reading the Bible and going to chapel. That's why there's a strong presence of that, and you hear a lot of guys, you know, thank God, thank the Lord for being here for this opportunity. And there are guys that turn to the Bible immediately because they find themselves, you know, in a hotel room with some things they shouldn't be doing. And they go, wait, I want to play ball. And if I do this, it's going to lead me down this path of failure. So they come to that body of faith. And so there's got to be something there. And you know, it was a lot. I loved every second of it. I put my heart and soul into 4 years at ASU and 10 in the NFL. And I have no regrets. And I left the game without my dream coming true. But man, I had a hell of a career. Did things I never could dream of being a young kid growing up in Boise, Idaho. And now I've inspired a lot of people. I've given tons of people memories that last a lifetime. And now I put myself in a position that people will respect what I did and still look at me now, what I'm doing, and know that I'm not resting on my laurels and just on the TV talking about guys, even though I do have a show that we did this year. But still, it's just, again, to challenge myself and keep getting better and let people know, you know, that was just part of my life. That wasn't my career. I'm still living my career right now. And legacies don't get defined until you're dead and gone. So there's no legacy I'm building. I'm just doing what comes next and hopefully doing it with passion and gusto. And if I can help people feel better and get healthier or be inspired to do something, then amen. That's what I'm going to try to do.
Well, let's talk about that. So you spent years in the spotlight playing football, then you disappear and you come back and Jake Plummer's building a wellness business and farming mushrooms. So tell us about what you've been doing since the NFL and how you came to doing what you're now with Umbo.
I got out of the game. Like I said, I ran out of the game. I was pretty intact, feeling pretty good. Went right to the handball court and backpacking and doing all the things that I still did when I played, but I just couldn't do them all the time.
And handball, like, yeah, you got really into like competitive handball.
Yeah, I mean, I just played a lot. That was what I loved to do. I mean, 2-3 times a week with my brother, living up in Sandpoint, Idaho, just away from everybody, just doing my thing. And then my body started feeling a little different because I wasn't lifting. A weight room was not my favorite thing. Workouts, you know, were something I had to do, not something I was wanting to do. And so I felt my body changing and got some work done on my hips, basically just not replaced, but just fixed them up, cleaned them up so that I could keep my hips intact, hopefully long, you know, well into my hundreds. And that's when my body, I started just feeling like, oh my goodness, this game, what did I, I'm only in my late mid 30s, you know, nearing 36, 37. And I'm like going through surgeries like this. Okay, I better start taking care of myself. Gotten introduced to a dear friend of mine, former teammate, Nate Jackson, who I'm doing some creative stuff with here in Denver. He connected me with a guy who was working for Charlotte's Web. It was hemp oil, and the hemp was still class one.
What's Charlotte's Web?
Charlotte's Web was one of the first hemp extracts that started working with young children with Dravet syndrome, severe seizure disorders. They started a database, Realm of Caring, a nonprofit to collect a database on using this plant that was a Schedule I drug, same as THC marijuana. So it's the cousin of marijuana with all the benefits, but it doesn't give you that psychotropic high. You don't feel high. You just get, you know, all sorts of good stuff out of this. I mean, the data is there. What I felt was my body was less inflamed, inflammation in my joints. I felt the first time in the winter that I wasn't curling into a painful ball. And so I thought, wow, if this is helping me and this isn't a pharmaceutical with all these disclaimer side effects at the end of the commercial that no one hears, but if you stop and listen, go, whoa, I don't want any of those. This is all natural. This is, if you believe in God, this is from God. This is natural intelligence.
What exactly was this again?
It's hemp. It's basically hemp that was grown and mandated by George Washington that we grow it back for its use as a textile with rope and clothing.
So you're talking about cannabis or you're talking about hemp?
Basically cannabis. Yes, cannabis, but there's different strains. THC marijuana gets you high. It's been a drug that's been illegal. It got decriminalized here and made available through medical cards and then recreationally. The offshoot of that was hemp that these young children were taking, and it was helping them not have seizures. It was amazing. And Charlotte Fiji is who the Charlotte's Web was named after. And Paige, her mom, and Heather Jackson and these moms, they soldiered this on. And so as athletes joined them to help them get the word out and advocate, educate, let people know, like, hey, yeah, there is a difference. You should learn. And similar to what I'm doing now with mushrooms. Again, it's the same.
Yeah, so how did you get introduced to mushrooms, and how did that come into play?
I met my partner at Umbo, Dale Jolly, my best friend in life. He brought me some tinctures right before the pandemic. Me and Rashad Evans, former UFC Hall of Famer, we're all good friends, and he's an amazing human. I started taking these five tinctures, reishi, turkey tail, lion's mane, cordyceps.
And these are all different mushrooms?
Yep.
Are they extracts or the actual mushrooms themselves?
Yeah, these were extracts in tincture form. So you just take them in a dropper under your mouth, put them in your tea, your coffee, whatever. And again, I noticed another level of inflammation leaving my body. Not right away. It wasn't like taking an Advil. Because if I take an Advil today, I'm ready to go climb a tree and jump and run and do all of that, because it takes all that achy feeling away. But this worked slower, and it took time, and my system started functioning better. My energy levels went up. My sleep got better. I just felt younger. And it was through the pandemic. I never got COVID. I felt like if I did get sick, it was one day of sniffles and maybe a low-grade headache, and the next day I was fine. And so I believed in this so much, we started a company, and I started again telling more people about it and telling my old teammates, because there's no better barometer for pain and suffering post-career than an NFL athlete. And then throw in on top of that the narrative around concussions and CTE, and oh, good luck, you're going to have CTE, or people saying, oh man, Jake's been kind of weird lately and not remembering things. I think he has CTE. And it's like, don't give me that bullshit analysis. That ain't what I got. Don't you tell, you're not a doctor. You don't know anything about this. We can reverse these things. And so if there's something in nature, if mushrooms happen to be that, we started our company to start advocating and educating people that are wanting to try something from nature again, an entire kingdom of mushrooms out there. I like to refer to it as the queendom, because it has given rise to so much life that we live in. Mushrooms, the mycelium, the communication they have, the compounds that we still don't know much about that we're researching currently. We're using functional mushrooms to treat seizures with young kids, mood disorders, mood and behavior disorders, sleep disorders, with nature, you know, so there's no side effects. There's no detrimental, you know, long-term effects it can have on your kidney, your liver, or your dry mouth, or whatever that may be. So it's nature at its finest. And I've started to obviously feel it myself first, and then go out and spread the word, because that's really what we're here to do, is share.
So these are functional mushrooms. I think that's the kind of terminology you use, right? It's functional mushrooms. And there are different types of mushrooms. And inform us a little bit more about how, like, what's the science behind this? What type are we supposed to take? For the guy who's listening, who's like, this sounds interesting. Is this just another fad? Is just like something that, you know, 5 years from now, they're going to be like, nah, well, that causes cancer too. You know, like everything else that we hear about. Like, tell us about how this can play a role in the health and wellness for the guy who's listening. Because he wants to, you know, the guy who's listening wants to live a long time, wants to be dialed in with his health and his nutrition, wants to be able to stay focused at work, come home with energy, sleep well, work out without pain. Like, how does this play a role? I'm looking in the mirror. This is like me. This is me. I'm kind of asking for me. So
I want to hear that work out with pain. When you find out, and let me know, because no pain, no gain. And like, you're going to be sore sitting around doing nothing. And you're going to be sore if you get up and go play pickleball and go on a jog. So which sore do you want? Good sore that was allowed you to get out and hear the birds and smell the air and see the sun and maybe meet somebody on the path or sit by the creek or play some pickleball and compete? Or do you want to be sore watching reruns of Game of Thrones or something, you know? So it's your choice.
Yeah, you got to pay for it one way or the other.
We all got to make a choice. So here it is. Like, I'll break it down real quick. Mushrooms, we kind of say they come in three categories. You got your functional mushrooms, which are, some are gourmet, and gourmet is the next one. So gourmet would be ones you would eat or order at a restaurant. There's more coming on board. I mean, the wild ones, chanterelles, morels, oyster mushrooms, they're growing out in certain times of the year. You can go out and harvest them, forage them, and bring them out of nature into your plate, and they're just amazing. It's another great way to get almost all the amino acids. If you're wanting to cut out some meat, that, you know, we're a heavy meat society, and maybe supplement that with something else that gives you that texture and still the same amount of proteins and vitamins, mushrooms are a good choice, gourmet mushrooms. They're psychedelic mushrooms, which we've known for a long time, and look back, watch Woodstock, and think about the 60s and the psychedelic revolution where they were fighting. They were fighting back then to break away from the powers that be and to be kind of out of a counterculture to learn what life was really about. And from that now, we've gone into more mental health healing through psychedelics and the ability they have to help us deal with whether that's, if you believe, like epigenetics and DNA transferring trauma down from our ancestors, or just what you've gone through in your own life personally. And trauma is a whole nother topic and show, because, you know, oh, you didn't have a tough childhood, but yeah, it doesn't matter. It's how you absorb it as a human. Big trauma, little trauma, whatever it is, it's how it affected me. Not how you think it should affect me, but how it did affect me.
You and I talked when we talked a few weeks ago, Robert O'Neill, who is the Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6, who shot and killed bin Laden. Like, he talked on that. I think he talked on that episode, and I know it was in the book, but I'm pretty sure he talked about it on the episode, about how he had to go out of the country to do the, I think it's psilocybin treatment, and it's been tremendously helpful for a lot of these guys with PTSD. And a lot of this stuff has just not been okay in America.
Here's something Pat and I would have working in unison together if he was still around, and to be fighting for our vets' rights and the ability for them to actually get health and get help. He would be extremely vocal and very disappointed in the powers that be that where our vets have to go to Mexico to, first they have to get to the point of being suicidal and wanting to end it all. And then they hopefully make a call to like a Marcus Capone, who's doing amazing vet solutions. He's taken thousands of guys and gals down to Mexico to take Ibogaine, which is an African root that is a really, really, really serious psychedelic. This isn't psilocybin mushrooms you can take and go to a concert, whatever. This is not that. These are extremely powerful plants that you should be, hold them in reverence, but also do the research and look into what they can provide if that is something you want to look into, if you're suffering, if you're struggling, if you just can't get out of this depression. They're doing a lot of studies at most of the leading institutions around our country. The colleges, the universities, they are starting their own psychedelic wings to study this, because we do have a problem in our culture. And it isn't getting any better with cell phones and the pressure these young kids are under to now make money in college to play ball. So, yeah, psychedelics, we could go into that. They got decriminalized here in Colorado, meaning it's still illegal, but it's now you're able to carry them on you or have them. You just can't sell them and disperse them, which is great. It's our human right, to go eat some broccoli or pick a carrot or take some psychedelics. We have a right to do that, I feel, because it's something that grows in nature. So then there's functional mushrooms. Those three categories, if you break it down, gourmet, psychedelic, and now functional. Functional meaning reishi, you can't eat, you can't cook it. Turkey tail, you can't cook it and eat it. You have to extract those compounds somehow, some way. There's a lot of different ways to do it. They're not all the same. Some companies out there do it really fast. Use the mycelium and just pump out bottle after bottle after bottle. And there's good compounds in that. There's other companies like Michael Love Farm that I helped get started that really dive into the full extraction process of how do we get all these compounds out of this fruiting body into some bioavailable format so that we could take it and benefit from them. And so the reishi is the lion's mane for your brain, the cordyceps for natural energy, blood flow, ATP, turkey tail for gut health and immunity. The list goes on and on. I like to tell people that these are basically like vegetables or fruit. We're told to eat so many fruits and vegetables every day. Well, somewhere back in the day, mycophobia became a thing and people stopped eating mushrooms because, disclaimer here, there are mushrooms that can kill you. They will kill you. Don't eat a mushroom you find anywhere without calling your local, you know, whatever it may be, mycologist if you have one or know people.
So funny story about that. Like, yeah, you're right. These are really dangerous. So my dad and I were hunting a few years ago. We found a bunch of mushrooms and there's some called chicken of the woods, I think it's called.
Yeah, maitake or matsutake.
Yeah, I don't even know. That's probably the real name for it. And we found a bunch. We're like, I think this is the right mushroom. So we grabbed a bunch. We put it in a plastic bag. We took it back to camp and we were going to eat it. And we're like, maybe not. Maybe we should. Maybe we shouldn't. We decided to drive down into town, go to the local library, jump on the internet, do some searching, found the local, there's like a local mushroom club. And I called the guy and I'm like, I think, you know, I'm like 90, maybe 95% sure these are the right ones. He's like, well, flip it over and tell me what it looks like on the underneath. And I'm like, I told him, he's like, no, those are poisonous. So there's your disclaimer. Like we were close to eating those.
And you know, the crazy thing is there's imposters in our world that we live in. There are humans that are imposters. They try to act like this, that, sell you something. And before long, you know, oh, damn. Hopefully they don't kill you. You know, like the same thing with mushrooms. And we share so many similarities. But yeah, they're the gourmet ones that are also very good for us. That's awesome. Eat them. Know what you're eating. Buy them at the farmer's market or local health food stores. They're becoming more popular on menus. What we do at MycoLove and what we extract it, but at Umbo is what we're selling is our product to get them into a format that you can take. Capsules are easy. Bars are yummy. And they're full of goodness because we all like a bar before a workout. You don't want to eat a big meal. And a lot of the bars, they're horrible. They taste like crap. You're tolerating them. We wanted to make something that you'd crave and look forward to before you go work out.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I've got a handful on my desk right here that you sent me. And like I told you before we recorded, I'm like, I was ready to eat a piece of cardboard. You know, I was like going to steal myself. I'm like, I'm going to choke this thing down. It was so good. I was going to start pounding a few of these, but I'm like, maybe I'll spread them out a little bit. But so for the listener who wants to incorporate these into their diet, you've got capsules, you've got the bars. Like, what kind of benefits can we expect? Like, so for we're buying, you know, I'm looking at, I've got the honey macadamia and not to sit here and pitch a product because that is truly not what I'm doing. I'm sitting here like trying to educate myself and the listeners. Like, I'm looking at this one. It has 500 milligrams of lion's mane, 500 milligrams of reishi, same of cordyceps, shiitake, and turkey tail, 500 milligrams of each. Like, if I start incorporating these into my diet, we're talking reducing inflammation, brain health. I mean, what are the benefits that we can expect?
Yeah, you mentioned two of them. There's obviously a lot of them really good immunomodulators, which means they're building your immune system back up. Cordyceps works with your cardiovascular system to help it at a cellular level oxygenate your blood. We all want more oxygen. When you feel more oxygen, you breathe more oxygen, you're more alert, you feel better, you can push your wind wall further. Blood flow is good for a lot of reasons. There's a whole slew of things you can hope to benefit from. Some take longer than others to notice. But when you eat your broccoli, you're not eating your broccoli because the doctor says it's going to help you max out tomorrow. You're eating your broccoli because you know your body needs these vitamins and minerals and nutrients to achieve what we all want to achieve and to go after that and to push it a little bit more. So these are just another way through nature to do it. And in China, ancient medicine, centuries ago, they've been using this for centuries. It's amazing for your nervous system. We're all under tons and tons and tons of stress. No matter what, you can say, I'm not going to stress about anything. And you go drive to the store. It's stressful driving. Everybody's flying around and the noises and the lights and the so stress doesn't end, but how you respond to it is the key. And reishi is a natural way to just put like a warm blanket on your nervous system. So we're doing studies. We're finding out. We're trying to, as a company, Umbo, to give you a healthy dose too. Though you said 500 milligrams, so 2.5 grams per bar. Not a lot of other products will have that much in him, that many of those compounds and that much of milligrams or grams in this case. So that's one thing. We wanted to come into this as a company giving you a very good product. The extracts we use come from a farm and a lab that I started and found the right guy to do this. We grow some mushrooms. We extract them at a very potent, ethical way with integrity and in hopes to help you. And so a lot goes in. It's a belief system, right, Jim? It's like, I believe in these and I want the mushrooms to believe in themselves. They may sound funny, but they are bioaccumulators. They will take on negative energy if you give it to them and carry it in their cells. So I'm just curious and hope that others are. If you are, go to getumbo.com and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a free e-booklet that goes through and breaks it down in an easy way, how and when to take these. Consistency over time equals results, just like with anything. So that's the way it is. And you know, if they're for you, great. If not, at least try them. They won't hurt you. And they are helping a lot of people with serious ailments, which I can't make any claims to, but there are a lot of people that are turning to this that have some very serious issues they're dealing with and dis-ease. And it's helping a lot of humans feel better and function better.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're educating us about this and providing a way for people to actually incorporate this into their diet and start to get the benefit of, like you said, something just provided by nature that we haven't fully utilized. Like, we eat our broccoli. It's the best analogy I've heard from you is like, we eat our broccoli and we're not saying, hey, how much of this and how, nobody can tell you how, the contents of how much vitamin C is in broccoli or anything. It's just, it's in there and we eat it because we trust that it's good for us. And the more we educate ourselves on mushrooms, the more we'll realize we can start putting this into our diet as well.
And I got a funny story, you know, like being a former quarterback and not studying business school and now being an entrepreneur of sorts, getting these opportunities, you know, our bars are sold in REI and we're getting ready to put more products into REI, an amazing company, co-op brand that's owned by its customers. What a pinnacle of people that want to go out and recreate and do better and feel better and function and live life and love it. And the way I got them in there was none other than giving a bar to a handball buddy who gave it to his wife who managed the local REI here in Boulder. And there you go. Yep. Being generous got us into REI. It wasn't a PowerPoint presentation or working our way up the chain. It was just being generous with something that I feel people should experience, at least try it. And if it doesn't help you, fine. Hey, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it will, but it won't hurt you.
Excellent. So Jake, listeners can go to, what was it again, umbo.com?
Yeah, getumbo, getumbo.com. Subscribe for our newsletter. It'll come in your inbox, and then you'll get another discount there. And
got a discount code for everybody, too.
Yeah, let's do it.
SAM15, Sam, so Success for the Athletic Mind Demand. So SAM15, Sam, yes. 15, and you will get 15% off of any order. So.
Yeah, I mean, and right now, you know, the easiest format is the capsules, our Rise for Energy, natural energy. There's nothing but natural products in that. Cordyceps, rhodiola, and Anad Plus. And then our Rest, which is Reishi, Lion's Mane, and L-theanine. These are all natural herbs, mushrooms, but those have been our Rest capsules are probably our highest review. They are our most 5-star reviewed product that we have on our offerings. So, you know, sleep's important, you know, good, clean water, good, clean food, and good sleep is really important. And then hopefully you got good friends and good sunshine to sit in too. And I think that's a good step towards health and wellness. And if you want to try the mushrooms, yeah, SAM 15, give it a shot.
Cool. Jake, thanks for making time to come on the show.
Jim, thank you, man. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate what you're doing and the opportunity to share. I always love it. And yeah, you have a good one, man. Peace, love, and mushrooms.
Peace, love, and mushrooms.